Morning, everyone. We have an agenda of work sessions on House bills, public hearing, and possible work sessions on several Senate bills. I will intend to go down the Senate bills first, so if you're here waiting to testify on the House bills, that will come second. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 198, have the staff read the summary, call Mark Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, Senate Bill 198 expands the disciplinary authority of the Director of Department of Consumer and Business Services and the Bill and Trade Advisory Board. And you have a -2 amendment that just came in this morning, too. That should have been. And could someone check the hall? Saw him. I was here. There he is. You're on. Senate Bill 198.
We moved away from you last week, too.
It's the pattern, isn't it?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Mark Long with Building Codes Division. You should have before you Senate Bill 198 with -1 amendments. Senate Bill 198 is a bill that the division put in. We, of course, support the bill. This bill is about creating consistency between our agency and the Construction Contractors Board. In the current world, we license and are registered contractors, and so does the Construction Contractors Board. And what this bill does is allows us to recognize the work of the Construction Contractors Board when they take a suspension or revocation act. The -1 amendments clarify that this bill is only directed towards revocation or suspension. There was some concern as we moved it through the Senate side that it might be broader and could focus on areas such as complaints and things like that, but it's, it was our intent, and it's the agreement of the groups we worked with, that this bill is to focus just on revocation and suspension. And with that said, I'd be happy to answer any questions of the committee.
Questions from the committee?
Do we have these -1 amendments? Or
we have -2s, correct?
-2s?
Excuse me. We have a -2. Yeah.
You have -2s. I sit corrected.
Okay. And we have not seen the -1s, correct?
Right. No, I don't.
No,
who has the -1?
Right.
Okay. And, committee, if you look at the -2s, you've got line 9. There's a new paragraph after holder. Line 10, there's a couple of words put in. We've deleted line 11.
The focus area, Madam Chair, if I can interrupt, is the reference to ORS 701-135, which in the construction contractors law focuses on revocation and suspension, and that's where we were narrowing it down from the potential to take action on complaints and other things, and we're not interested in that, and that's not the focus of Building Codes Division.
And could I ask you 701.135, what does that deal with?
I'd have to. Craig, are you familiar with it? The specifics of it? I don't want to put him on the spot, but it is a reference that is in the Construction Contractors Board. I think it's.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Craig Smith, Construction Contractors Board. I didn't bring the statute with me, but.
Okay, we'll get it.
As I understand it, this is a section of the law that we use for revocations and for suspensions, not for a dispute resolution process. This was the focus of this particular amendment.
Thank you. It does say grounds for discipline, hearing, civil penalty, injunction. And there are several possibilities listed all the way up to murder.
You do that?
I've been on some job sites like that, Madam Chair.
Wow.
Questions for our panel? Thank you very much.
Shedding this head house revenue call. This is up now. Did you want to talk about?
Okay. This concludes our witnesses on Senate Bill 198. So I'm going to close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 198. Representative Kitts.
Madam Chair, I would move the -2 amendments into Senate Bill 198.
Representative Kitts moves the -2 amendment into Senate Bill 198. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Madam Chair.
Representative Kitts.
I would move Senate Bill 198 as amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Kitts moves Senate Bill 198 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative
Dyson. Aye.
Representative
Excused.
Representative Berkeley.
Aye.
Representative Shoffler.
Aye.
Representative Kitts.
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Chair
Close. Votes aye. Motion carries. And Representative Shoffler, would you carry this bill?
Thank you.
Close the work session. Okay, I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 205A. Have the staff read the summary. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, Senate Bill 205A allows public utility to enter into written agreements with certain organizations that govern provision of financial assistance for advocacy on behalf of the broad customer interest in certain regulatory proceedings conducted by the PUC, and it requires the Commission's approval of agreements, allows public utility that provides financial assistance to recover amounts provided in rates, and it declares an emergency effective upon passage. Thank you.
Thank you. Committee, we have heard this bill before. This is the intervener funding bill. No one has signed up, but I see that the commissioners are here. Lee Beyer is here. Commissioner Beyer, did you want to make any comments on the bill? Are there questions on the bill? Okay. Thank you very much. We'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 205, open a work session on Senate Bill 205A.
Madam Chair.
Representative Rosenbaum.
I move Senate Bill 205A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Rosenbaum moved Senate Bill 205A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative
Aye.
Representative
Gerard. He's excused.
Representative Berkeley.
Aye.
Representative
Shockwood. Aye.
Representative Pitts.
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Chair Close.
Both aye. Motion carries. And Representative Rosenbaum, would you carry this bill?
I would love to. Thank you.
Close the work session on Senate Bill 205. Going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 286A and call Lisa Trussell, AOI. Morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Lisa Trussell with Associated Oregon Industries here today in support of the Dash 2 amendments for Senate Bill 286. Just a brief little background. What Senate Bill 286 is trying to do is put into statute the longstanding practice that was at the Workers' Comp Board. Members of the Workers' Comp Board are made up of members representing the background and understanding of employers, and two members representing the background and understanding of employees, and then the fifth member is a public member. And until the fairly recent past, cases can be decided either in the full panel of all five members, or they can split into panels of three to decide cases. And in the past, those cases where there was panels of three, there was typically an employer rep, an employee rep, and in the event of a tie, the public member decided the case. We had a situation at the board where both of the employer seats happened to be vacant. And at that time, the board decided that it was within their prerogative, which it was, to decide those cases as a panel of three, being the two remaining reps, which happened to both be labor, and then the public member. So what we've done with the bill is reestablish the importance of the employer-employee relationship in the workers' comp system. This bill has been before the Management Labor Advisory Committee and was unanimously supported, and we ask that you support this bill also with the Dash 2 amendments. Thank you.
Questions?
Madam Chair.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you. Lisa, I'm not sure I understand what this amendment does. It seems to address if there's not somebody available, then the public member steps in?
What that amendment is intended to address, and the board chair is here, and she can clarify it if I misstate it, but we don't want a panel to always be a public member and one other. But in cases where either, like we had before, where both of one side or the other positions are vacant, the public member could go with one of the people from the remaining positions. Or in the event for example, sometimes there are attorneys on the board, and they have to recuse themselves from the cases. In that situation, the public member could fill in, or extended vacations, or what. It's just that it wouldn't be the normal process to have the public member being one of the two. Typically, the public member would be the tiebreaker. But in order to get workflow going at times when there may not be a person with either the management background or labor background, they could still get the cases out.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions? Thank you very much, Lisa.
Thank you.
And that concludes our testimony. Excuse me, on Senate Bill 286A. Closing the public hearing. I'm opening a work session on Senate Bill 286A. Representative Kitts.
Madam Chair, I would move the -A2 amendments into Senate Bill 286.
Representative Kitts moves the A2 amendment into Senate Bill 286. Actually, it's the 2 amendment into 286A. Excuse me. Is there discussion?
I apologize.
Representative Gallegos?
Oh, no.
I do have one comment.
Representative Shoffler.
I would assume anyone that sits on this board represents the interests of the public. So I just wanted to make that comment. So thank you.
Okay. Further discussion? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Kitts.
Madam Chair, I would move Senate Bill 286 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Kitts moves Senate Bill 286A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative
Gallego? Aye.
Representative Berard?
Is excused today.
Representative Berkley?
Aye.
Representative Chopper?
Aye.
Representative
Kitts?
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum?
Aye. Chair Phillips? Votes aye. Motion carries, and we will have Representative... Representative Berkley, would you like to carry the bill?
I'd be happy to.
Okay. Motion carries, and close the work session on 286A. And I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 575A. Have the staff read the summary.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 575 exempts from licensure as contractor business that supplies personnel for performance of work under direction and supervision of licensed contractor. Thank you.
And we'll call Tom Barrows and Teresa Lumbaugh.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Tom Barrows, representing the Northwest Professional Employers Association. With me is Teresa Lumbaugh from TNT Management. Senate Bill 575 simply removes sort of a redundancy. It exempts businesses that supply personnel to a licensed contractor from also having to have a contractor's license themselves. There's no direct supervision of the employees at the work site, so it's an unneeded additional layer to have a contractor's license for the suppliers.
Representative Kitts.
Tom, so this would be like a temp agency, for example?
Madam Chair, Representative Kitts, yes. Employee leasing company or a temp agency.
So what this bill is saying is that the temp agency would not have to be a holder of a CCB in order to dispense workers to a job site where maybe a CCB or a general contractor was currently working. Am I understanding that correctly?
Madam Chair, Representative Kitts, that's exactly correct, as long as the contractor that was supervising them is a licensed contractor. It does have a license.
Okay.
Thank you.
Other questions? Teresa, did you want to speak?
No, I'm just going to answer questions.
Okay. I apologize for mispronouncing your name.
Okay.
Madam Chair, it was my fault for writing so quickly. I added some letters in there.
Okay. Well, thank you.
For your defense. Okay, that concludes our testimony on Senate Bill 575A. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 575A. Representative Kitts.
Madam Chair, I would move Senate Bill 575A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Kitts moves Senate Bill 575A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative
Gallego? Aye.
Representative
Berard? Is excused.
Representative
Berkley? Aye.
Representative Shockland?
Aye.
Representative Kitts?
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Chair Close?
Votes aye. Motion carries. Representative Gallegos, would you pay the bill?
Sure.
And we'll close this work session on Senate Bill 575. Thank you.
I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 803. Have the staff read the summary.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. Senate Bill 803 reduces from 1,000 to 500 the number of covered employees and retirees required for self-insurance of health insurance by an individual public body other than a school district, community college district, or community college service district. Thank you.
Okay, and call Doug Riggs for Metro.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, good morning.
Good morning.
This is a fairly simple bill. It was heard in the 2001 session, and there was some confusion at the end of the session, and it didn't move. We reintroduced it at the beginning of the session. The purpose of the bill is really relatively simple. Currently, any business is able to self-insure for health insurance purposes. Statute for the state agencies and other public agencies prohibit any entity, government entity below 1,000 employees from self-insuring for the same purposes. I represent Metro, and for the record, Doug Riggs, if I didn't say that, and Metro, as well as Deschutes County, Washington County, and several other medium-sized government agencies who looked at the option of providing self-insurance as an option for their employees. What we're facing in Metro is increasing costs and a greatly limited number of suppliers who are willing to come in and provide health insurance for our employees. So one of the options that we would like to be able to provide, kind of a tool in our toolkit, would be self-insurance. And that's something that we've looked at very carefully. This bill would do that by lowering the threshold. Of Metro has 571 employees. Deschutes County, Washington County, and others have also looked at it, which is why you see both Senator Kate Brown as well as Senator Bruce Starr as being the co-sponsors of the bill. There were a number of concerns expressed by school districts and community colleges, both of which have a health insurance trust. They were concerned that the bill might pull individual members out of the trust and might endanger the trust itself. So after discussion with them at the beginning of the session, we exempted them from the provision to this act. So they had no particular concern with it. Passed the Senate committee 4-0 and passed the Senate floor 27-1. The one was Senator Len Hannon, who is himself an insurance agent, and I've not spoken with him about this, but notice that he does tend to be someone who looks at these health insurance bills a little more carefully and maybe a little more critically than other folks do. Okay. Happy to answer any questions.
Well, I appreciate the bright green paper you used sort of waking us up this morning.
That's right.
Easy to read. Questions from the committee? Okay, thank you. And that concludes our testimony on Senate Bill 803, closing the public hearing. Opening a work session on Senate Bill 803. Representative Kitts.
Madam Chair, I would move Senate Bill 803 to the floor to be passed recommendation.
Representative Kitts moves Senate Bill 803 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative
Dyson. Aye.
Representative Gerard.
He's excused.
Representative Brinkley.
Aye.
Representative Chocolate.
Aye.
Representative Kitts.
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Chair
Coates. Votes aye. Motion carries. Senate Bill 803 moves to the floor. The one I picked on this morning.
Representative Rosenbaum.
I think I got you already.
Representative Kitts, I think, is the only one you've left out so far.
I'll carry it.
There. Uh-huh. Representative Kitts will carry this bill. And we will close the work session on Senate Bill 803. Thank you. And we'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 822. Have the staff read the statement.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, Senate Bill 822 exempts certain products, services, and installation work of competitive communications providers from licensing under the electrical safety law.
Thank you. And we'll call Mike Dewey of the Oregon Telecommunications Association. Please represent. Okay.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Mike Dewey, representing the Oregon Cable Telecommunications Association. We had a slight flaw when this was introduced. The Oregon Telecommunications Association is represented by Brent Wolf, and we have the cable in there. We are here to support Senate Bill 822. Let me say that this is a somewhat of a companion bill to House Bill 3163, which passed the floor last week. I'm not sure of the vote, but it was fairly uncontroversial. And that was the bill that dealt with the demarcation point. Senate Bill 822 deals with permits and licensure.
Hampshire.
Representative Kitts.
Mr. Dewey, for clarification, I carried that bill. It had no objection.
Okay. Well, I knew you did a wonderful job. It was exquisite by all counts. Madam Chair, we had originally attempted to, and then you could carry this bill later on. We had, because you're becoming an expert here. This is a highly technical bill. Nonetheless, we had originally worked out an agreement with all parties with regard to the demarcation point, had intended to amend Senate Bill 822. The relating clause was too narrow, so we had to continue on the path of this particular bill, and then another vehicle was found to deal with the demarcation point. This deals with licensure requirements and permit requirements. Originally, the Building Codes Division had a question. The question was, when are licenses and permits required for the installation of telecommunications systems? And they started on an interpretation of that particular question. And they came out with their first draft, and they had some definitions who was included in the exemption for licenses and permits when you're working on your own equipment. If you can remember House Bill 3163, it was the demarcation point was the customer-owned equipment, and you had licenses and permits. The first interpretation was very narrow, and it excluded telecommunications carriers like cable companies, AT&T, MCI, XO, companies like that, that compete with the incumbent companies that were exempt. And that was an unintended consequence. We sat down with them, and they worked on a new interpretation, recognizing that there were some additional concerns about demarcation. They did not move formally ahead, either the electrical board or the department, to promulgate a rule or an interpretation, recognizing that the legislature was coming up, and so instead deal with these issues in the legislature. So had that interpretation gone forward, and this legislation clarifies that the incumbent providers of Verizon or Qwest are treated the same as a telecommunications provider, a cable company which provides telecommunications services, an MCI, an AT&T, and a company like that. Had we had different interpretations and different requirements, we would have had some problems with competition. On the one hand, you have companies that provide the same service that are going to have licensed personnel and additional permits that would not be required by their competitors. And that would be basically a barrier to entry. Section 253 of the Telecommunications Act of 1996 prohibits that. And so we all got together and we worked on this particular compromise, and we think it is a good compromise. So you have two pieces of legislation that help the division in terms of their interpretation. And I think when it's all said and done, you've got better safety and reliability in the system. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. I urge your passage of this particular bill.
Questions for Mike? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that concludes our testimony on Senate Bill 822. I'm going to close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 822. Representative Kitts.
Madam Chair, I would move Senate Bill 822 to the floor with a due-pass recommendation.
Representative Kitts moves Senate Bill 822 to the floor with a due-pass recommendation. Discussion. Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to declare a potential conflict of interest as I am employed by a telecommunications company.
Thank you, Representative Rosenbaum. So noted. Other discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative
Gallagher. Aye.
As excused. Representative
Merkley. Aye.
Representative
Chocolate.
Aye.
Representative Kitts.
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Votes
aye. Motion carries, and the chair will carry this bill. And we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 822. Thank you.
Committee, we're working on calling Representative Patridge for 2710, which is his bill. We'll stand at ease for just a moment. B69 and call Mr. Van Landingham forward. And we did hear this bill and had some amendments. Morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair. John Van Landingham, Lane County Law and Advocacy. I'm just here to answer any questions.
Okay, Ken, you had a dash two amendment which we did walk through. I think I allowed time for everybody to look over the amendment. Is there questions for Mr. Van Landingham? Okay. I guess we understand the amendment. That's right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I don't believe, was there anyone else to test on this bill? There was not. Okay, John's not testifying. All right. We are in work session. Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the dash two amendments to House Bill 3069.
Representative Rosenbaum moves the dash two amendment into House Bill 3069. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Rosenbaum.
I move House Bill 3069 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Rosenbaum moves House Bill 3069 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Is excused.
Aye.
Aye.
Is excused. Aye. Votes aye. Motion carries, and House Bill 3069 moves to the floor, and the chair will carry the bill. Go to the work session. And we will stand at ease while we're waiting for Representative Patridge.
Members of the committee, House Bill 2710 disqualifies individual from receipt of unemployment benefits and the individual knowingly takes limited duration work.
Welcome. Good morning.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. We're requesting this bill be sent to the Ways and Means. You could send it without recommendation. I know the Employment Department may have some issues with this, and there may be some federal issues. We want to keep the concept alive through the Ways and Means process to see if there's an opportunity to do some of this. What it does is it takes people who take limited duration work and then can apply for unemployment benefits immediately thereafter. The state cost of those is very, very significant, especially in parks and other types of programs where people will come in and have seasonal type of work and then could apply for unemployment even knowing that it's a limited duration position. We're going to continue to work with the Employment Department and don't want to run a foul of federal law. Your committees are going to shut down here in a while, and we're just going to continue to look at the issue in Ways and Means. So we'd ask that you send the bill with the relating to clause to Ways and Means. There's going to be no intent to send it out of Ways and Means should it controvert federal law or anything else. So that's all we're asking, is to send the relating to clause down there to preserve it in the concept.
Questions for Representative Patridge? Representative
Murphy. Thank you, Madam Chair. Patridge, what is the limit of limited duration? Is it defined elsewhere in law? Is it 3 months, 1 year, or could it extend infinitely.
The way the bill's set up right now, it is broad. I think we're going to have to narrow part of that and look at those things. And that's all we're trying to do is preserve the relating to clause. We've talked to the co-chairs. We're having ways and means through the ways and means process look at the costs of what it costs the state based upon different benchmarks. So that's all we're trying to do right now.
One other follow-up? As I understand the construction here, it's intended to apply, for example, if I have a 2 or 3 month job and then I claim unemployment. But what if I had unemployment from a previous job? I've been there 20 years. I am now getting my 6 months on unemployment or whatever time's permitted. If I take a short, brief job, maybe even just a 2 or 3 day job, do I now lose my unemployment any right to claim under my previous job?
That's not the intent of the legislation, Madam Chair and Representative Merkley. It's my understanding is there's a separate section of the law that would allow that tolling. This would just not be additional beyond that. But we're going to get together, have a work group, work on some of these things in ways and means.
Thank you.
I don't want to take any of the committee's time, that's all.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Representative Petridge. I appreciate that this isn't the form that this bill will ultimately be in, but that teachers who are hired for really for a limited duration and may or may not have their contracts renewed, how would it apply?
Madam Chair, Representative Rosenbaum, it's my understanding that teachers are handled under a different section of federal and state law in terms of how they deal with the unemployment issue regarding teachers. And I asked the department about that previously, prior to drafting the current legislation that you see before you. So.
And a follow-up, Madam Chair. What about temporary agencies where somebody goes from one limited duration job to another, but that really is their regular employment?
Madam Chair, Representative Rosenbaum, that's one of the issues that we're going to have to deal with as people transition between those types of things. It's a very, very complicated issue. We worked with the department ahead of time. We tried to work with the department on a continuing basis, and even as of Friday, they got information back from the Fed. So that's all we're trying to do is keep this issue open and alive to take a look at it in light of the cost savings issues that the state is facing under its current budget cycle.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll call the Employment Division forward. Tom Byerly and also Ed Glad of the Carpenters.
Morning.
Good morning. Morning, Madam Chair. Members of the committee. My name is Tom Byerly. I'm the Assistant Director for Unemployment Insurance with the Employment Department. We are coming to you with some information regarding House Bill 2710. We did indeed just last Friday hear from our federal partners with the U.S. Department of Labor that said that this particular bill as written would cause a federal conformity issue. That means it would, if we would be out of conforming with federal law on the unemployment insurance program, and it would cost Oregon employers an additional $950 million annually in federal payroll taxes. So obviously we need to work on the bill some more.
Appreciate that. And Ed?
Good morning. For the record, my name is Ed Glad. I'm with the Pacific Northwest Regional Council of Carpenters. The way that the law proposed is presented here is that all construction workers would be no longer qualified for unemployment benefits. Essentially, construction workers go on to every single job as temporary or limited duration employees. That's the part of the pride of being a construction worker. We work ourselves out of a job on every single job. In the construction, on the union side, we dispatch people from anywhere from 4 hours to a day, 3 days, a week, or it could be, it's an open-ended expression of employment when you're actually able to go 3 months or 4 months or a year on a job. But ultimately, there is nobody who honestly could say that they are going to work forever or for on a permanent job. in the construction industry. All jobs are limited duration jobs, and the way that this proposal is out there, we would all be disqualified from unemployment benefits. Now, those unemployment benefits are critical for us when we are when we've been out of work for long enough that we're drawing unemployment to get in our trucks and go from job to job looking for the opportunity to go to work. And so I strongly encourage you to put an end to this particular proposal and move on. Thank you.
President Kitts.
I've got a scenario that I want to run by you and just tell me how it would play out according to this bill. Longshoremen, for example, have to, a casual longshoreman, identified casual, has to accrue a certain amount of hours the year before to qualify for unemployment benefits the following year. Since they are engaged in temporary work, so to speak, they're used when there's an abundance of work and the registered men of the A and B men in the longshore industry get work. There's X amount of extra jobs they call an identified casual to work. If they don't make enough money during the week, they are supplemented through unemployment. If they were to take a job, get dispatched out of the hall, and take a job, knowing it's a one-day job, not knowing that there's work the next day because it fluctuates back and forth, would they be disqualified under this, the way this is written?
Madam Chair, Representative Kitts, that is correct. The way the bill is currently written, they would be disqualified from receipt of unemployment insurance benefits. The current language of the bill has some pretty far-reaching ramifications, as you'll see from the testimony that I provided, that there are several types of occupations that we believe would be impacted. As Representative Rosenbaum indicated, teachers would be possibly impacted, much of the tourist industry, many jobs in the Oregon coast, virtually all of the jobs plus jobs, cannery workers, individuals working in the logging industry, as my colleague here said, construction workers, seasonal workers, new interest in the labor market. They come out of, unless they come out of school and they're trying to get hooked up with an employer to take temporary work, they would be impacted as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that clarification.
Okay. Representative Shoffler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you. Wouldn't this essentially just put us back into pre-depression work conditions for people with no unemployment insurance whatsoever to fall back on?
Madam Chair, Representative Shoffler, this would impact those that took temporary work. If you were displaced from a permanent full-time job, you would still be eligible for unemployment insurance. But we estimate as many as 74,000 workers a year would be without unemployment insurance that now currently qualify.
Thank you.
If I may.
Give your name again.
Ed Glad. Not too long ago, you heard a bill about extending unemployment benefits. And one of the carpenters that I work with out of Vernonia came down to testify on that bill. And he pointed out to me that he had been without work for a year. Although he had been searching for work during that year, he picked up a job in the middle of that year. So the numbers that were configured to be able to give him his benefit actually expired. And he picked up a three-day job. It was a temporary job. It was a remodel situation that he was called in to do. And so he went back to unemployment benefits, and he's getting the absolute bare minimum. And so essentially what you're suggesting, Representative Shoffler, is that the effect of unemployment benefits and how it works within the economy to be able to continue to circulate money and to allow those who are in desperate need, it would be radically transformed by eliminating, just simply using construction industry, we're talking about tens of thousands of people that currently are able to use unemployment insurance. They would no longer be able to use that. And so you're pulling those people out of the system, and that I think is a very profound shift in the paradigm of how we do our economy.
Can I ask you, Tom, are there abuses, in your opinion, of people who work for however many days, you know, go off, get unemployment, come back on, and are there ways to deal with that you have already?
I would have to agree there are some abuses. I have a staff of 15 investigators that seek those abuses out. We do regular automated cross matches with employer wage records that they report with us. Yes, there are. However, there are a great deal of Oregonians that do take temporary work legitimately, and that's how they make their living.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I close the work session on House Bill 2710. And I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2341. I'll call Jessica Harris.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jessica Harris, and I'm here today on behalf of the Associated General Contractors in support of House Bill 2341. At your request, we have gone back, worked with interested parties, and done our best to resolve concerns that we raised on Wednesday. We have resolved out of the 10 concerns that we brought to you, 8 of those concerns. We actually ended up with 11, and those concerns included a new one that resolved itself. The conforming amendments ended up being finished. The Treasury issue was resolved. The PUD's concerns with personal services, we ended up with language to correct that. The grant language with the Housing Department was resolved satisfactorily to the Housing Department. The Housing Department exemption language was resolved to the satisfaction of BOLI. The clarification that Section 12 does not apply to 279-845 was clarified and resolved. The City of Lake Oswego legal remedies issue, there was a work group that met and discussed this issue. They agreed to language, and there's still some tinkering that would like to occur on that issue, so there's still some work that needs to happen there. We have asked Legislative Council whether Section 335 is necessary. We have received word from them that it is necessary, and so to that extent the section will stay. The 11th issue was a technical change to Sections 103, 104, and 105. There was language there that was a minor change from statute. Instead of using the word made, there were use of the words entered into, and so that change has been made. So the two issues on this list that remain are TriMet issue with the federal override provision. They're concerned about the current language, and so we are working with them, and we'll work with BOLI to make sure that that's worded correctly. The City of Eugene has some overarching concerns about the current language in 279B, and we continue to work with them. And the special districts have a desire to add a definition of procurement and have some other questions about the bill that we are working through them with. The concerns are, at this point in time, just came out in an amendment and need to be reviewed so that they are technically correct, and so people have the time to digest them and make sure that they do what we hope that they would do. So at this point in time, we respectfully request that this committee move a -7 amendment and approve this bill. We appreciate a great deal the work that this committee has done on this bill. We know that this has been a long road. We appreciate the work that Megan Palau has put in on this bill, and I would like to take a moment and thank Doug McKean for his Herculean efforts in drafting this bill, as well Bill Nestle and Dugan Petty, who have put in numerous hours on this bill. And Madam Chair, I would like to thank you for your hours of helping to negotiate this bill. This has been a wonderful product. Representative Garden's interim work group did wonderful work, and I believe that this procurement law will be a legacy of this committee and of this legislative session for years to come. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions? Representative Kitts.
I have a question.
Representative Rosen.
I think there's more than enough credit to go around, but I think we would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge Jessica, who has labored long and hard and against sometimes all odds to bring this product forward. So I think she deserves a lion's share of the credit, too.
Thank you, Representative Rosenbaum. We heartily concur, and
as I told Jessica, I don't know too many people that could have done what she has done. So we really do appreciate your work. Representative Kitts.
Madam Chair, I move the dash 7 amendments into House Bill 2341.
Representative Kitts moves the dash 7 amendment in the House Bill 2341. Discussion. Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Kitts.
Madam Chair, I would move House Bill 2341 to the Committee on Ways and Means as amended.
Representative Kitts moves House Bill 2341 as amended to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there discussion?
Is that with
With that recommendation? Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to make a recommendation with your motion?
Yes. Do pass.
I probably missed that. I'm sorry.
I'm just trying to give Jessica a heart attack.
the motion is to... Please don't. Move House Bill 2341 as amended to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a do pass recommendation. The clerk will call roll.
Okay, please got a man down.
Aye. Is excused.
Aye.
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 Aye. Votes aye. Motion carries. And House Bill 2341 goes to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Madam Chair.
Closing the work session.
Madam Chair.
Representative Shaw.
When Representative Girard's back, will we suspend the rules so he can vote on this?
Yeah, Representative Girard had the day off, and he did not mention to me that he did desire to vote, but we can do that. That would be fine with me if he would like to vote on it. Since it was his bill, and he did vote on it. So that's a good idea.
I would ask unanimous consent of the committee to allow Representative Girard to do that.
You'll get your chance on Wednesday. We'll vote on that. Okay, I believe that completes our schedule for this morning. Thank you, committee. Great job, and we are adjourned.